Welcome to the Growing in Love for Life podcast, where it's all about saving and strengthening your marriage and creating the relationship you really deserve and want to have. And now, from growinginloveforlife.com, relationship and marriage coach and best-selling author, your host, Liam Naden.
This is episode 33 of the Growing in Love for Life podcast. And welcome everybody, it's Liam Naden here again. Thank you for joining me. My topic for today, I think, is going to help a lot of people. I've called it Save and Strengthening Your Marriage by Understanding Connection Styles. And you're probably wondering, what are connection styles? Well, we're going to get into that soon, because today I'm very privileged to say I have a very special guest on the show who's going to explain all about what connection styles are. It's an absolutely fascinating topic, and he's an expert on this particular area, as in with many other areas of relationships and marriage. And in fact, just to tell you before I bring him onto the show, a little bit about this man, he's an amazing guy. He's someone who has helped me a lot personally, and if you've listened to the podcast a bit, or if you've read some of my books, you'll know a bit about my story when, you know, I really hit rock bottom, losing everything, fighting bankruptcy, fighting two ex-wives in court at the same time, and really realizing that it was my whole lack of understanding of relationships that had brought all this upon me. And that's really what drove me to find out how do you really create a great relationship, and how do you keep it getting better with time. Well, during that time, I met this man, and he really gave me some incredible insights into what really happens in a relationship, and how you can really, you can change it and make them better. So he's been great. He's helped me a lot personally. I've learnt a tremendous amount from him. He's also just down the road from me, as it were. He's from Christchurch in New Zealand. You might have heard of Christchurch as the place where, of course, we had all those devastating earthquakes quite recently, but fortunately he's okay. Anyway, he's an educator, he's a counsellor, he's a life coach, he's worked for 25 years in the whole area of couples counselling and therapy. And he's also the author of a great book called The 12 Choices of Winners, and I believe he's got several more books in the pipeline as well. So it's with great pleasure that I introduce you to Jeff Saunders. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Liam. What a great introduction. I hope I can live up to that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure you can. No, it's great to have you on the show. And, you know, it's interesting, this whole area of connection styles, which we're going to be talking about today. I know you're an expert in this, and it's not something I've become that familiar with. So it's great to have you to be able to share it, because, you know, when I look at the programs that I offer, I have my Stop Your Divorce program and my Relationship Transformation program. Mm-hmm. And in those programs and in the work I do with couples, what I'm really trying to get them to see is that in a relationship there are underlying dynamics. You know, these are, if you like, the foundations. And I'm sure you'd agree that too often people try to deal with their problems, but problems really are the symptoms of their relationship being out of alignment. You need to get in and see what's wrong, what's happening in the foundations.
Absolutely. And when, you're quite right.
Yeah. And when people do that, you know, often the problems just sort of go away, whereas if you focus on solving problems, then you're only going to keep more, you get more of what you focus on, as it were.
Yes.
Obviously, and you only get more problems showing up. So I think that's where this whole area of connection styles can really help, because it seems to me to be something that is to do with the foundations and the structure of a relationship. So could we kick off, Jeff, by asking, you know, what are connection styles? Could you explain a bit about what they actually are?
Yes, I can. And can I just back up a little bit with what you just said about the problems that occur in relationships? Because
yes,
to understand connection styles, it helps to understand where the problem arises in the first place. Connection styles underlies it. Actually, in the literature, they're mostly called attachment styles, or attachment injuries, or attachment insecurities. But when a couple get together, they get together because they're quite excited by the way in which each other is different. But that difference can change. What happens is the very things that are different eventually become a problem. For example, if an extrovert's are drawn to an introvert, The extrovert may think, well, this introvert, they're quiet and they're thoughtful and they're reflective and that's wonderful, and they think how wonderful that is. And the introvert thinks, well, the extrovert's out there chatting to everybody. So they get excited by the difference. But the real problem here is they don't understand that when they come together with those differences, the differences eventually can be bothersome. So the extrovert thinks the introvert eventually isn't talking, and the introvert thinks the extrovert's got too much to say. So what we recognize is that people's childhood relating patterns, the way they were, the way they related to their caregivers, actually arises in relationship. We never get past our childhood, actually. So what happens is the relationship patterns we had in childhood then start to manifest in our primary relationships. They don't show up to begin with. We can be quite different than our patterns in the honeymoon phase when we're all chatty and we're trying to meet the other's needs and all this sort of thing. But after a while, we revert to type, and that's when we start to dig in and we revert to our attachment styles, and then connection is compromised. So in many ways, they are connection styles, or they're disconnection styles, depending on how you look at it.
Right, so these, if you like, would it be correct to say they're like communication styles? Would that be another way of describing them?
They're probably better termed personality styles.
Okay.
So the two, in general, when people are growing up and what they do in their adult relationships is they either relate warmly and they reach out and they're gregarious and they want to connect with people and they want to say hi and talk about how they're feeling and talk about the ups and downs of their life. So when things go wrong, they want to reach out and talk and communicate about that, or just the opposite. They want to draw, say nothing, go into their own room, be the sort of go and think about things rather than talk about things. And those two tendencies basically give rise to all the different attachment styles and therefore connection styles.
Okay, so if someone listening to this is trying to relate it to their own relationship, is it essentially, are there variations on these two styles, like the introvert or the extrovert, or is there more about it, or is that essentially what it is?
Well, that's a good question. The attachment styles aren't everything. For example, the extrovert-introvert difference does not come into a relationship styles. There are quite a few different personality styles. For example, extrovert-introvert comes into the Myers-Briggs personality, what would you call it, instrument, if you like. But the attachment styles are specific to relating. And so extrovert-introvert isn't crucial, but it's one variable that can also kick in when people are trying to relate.
Right.
But in general, what happens is when crisis occurs in relationship, people either want to reach out and resolve it, or they want to withdraw and distance themselves from it. So they're either conflict engagers or they're conflict avoiders.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
There are variations on it. Some people are a mixture of both. Some people start off wanting to engage when there's conflict, but eventually get burnt out, give up, and they then disengage. So sometimes people are a bit of both. But generally speaking, some people are very good at working things out, and some people have learned through their years with at home, have learned to disengage when things go wrong, and so they will distance themselves. They'll go off and I suppose as a kid they would have probably gone off and climbed a tree or played a game or gone to their room and read or something like that. But a person who wants to resolve conflicts, who wants to reach out, they will tend to get distressed when the other person doesn't want to engage and doesn't want to sort things out. And they'll often pursue that person until they do get it sorted. They want just to talk it out, put things to rest, make sure everyone's happy. And so basically those two differences create all the underlying attachment patterns.
Right. Well, it's very interesting, isn't it? Because I presume you as well, I very very often people who are interested in one of my programs or in some coaching, they approach me because they're in the situation where their spouse doesn't want to engage with them, and they, and there might be some conflict going on, or they might have just drifted apart. And I was thinking, just recently someone contacted me, and her husband, he would just spend all his time watching TV, and then she found out that he was texting another woman sort of 20 times a day, and when she confronted him about it, he said, oh no, there's nothing in it, but he refused to talk about it, he refused to do anything in, about resolving what to her were problems in their marriage, and certainly a lack of communication and intimacy. And I guess that that must be quite a big problem really for people who want to have depth and intimacy and communication in their marriage, and their partner just doesn't respond. And if they're a, you know, an avoider, how do you actually deal with that as the way to get them engaged?
Very good question, because the avoiders often don't recognize that they're actually undermining the relationship. See, avoiders who are also tend to be withdrawers in the way they relate, I call them avoidant, the avoidant attachment style, avoidant insecure. These styles are described on my website. It's the first article on my website, couplescounselingforyou.co.nz. So people can actually read their these styles. But if that guy, for example, is pulling away, he's pulling away because he doesn't know quite how to work things out with his wife. And what many of the avoidant people do is they then find another relationship where there's no hurt and no injuries and no baggage, and it's much, much easier to reach out to someone new than someone that they've got a bit of a history with. So they reach out, they get a buzz from being with someone else, but actually they're on track to completely repeat their history.
Mm.
They're not going, after a while, they may chat endlessly to this new person, and they may find them very exciting, but they do with everybody to start with.
Mm.
But the avoidant pattern eventually kicks in. As soon as things get difficult, as soon as there are challenges, he's going to back off that relationship as well. And what some men do who have got this avoidant style, it's a predominantly male style, the avoidant style, about 70% of men are the style. What they often do is they will have another woman on the side, but they don't see them that much. So it tends to minimize the likelihood of relationship difficulty. Of course, if a person's only relating a couple of times a week, you know, when they go off to a mistress or something, then they're not really having to face full relationship. They're just having a bit on the side. They're not really relating fully. And so it's much easier to keep it calmer.
Yes.
And so they're less likely to disengage the way they have with their partner.
Mm. So what would you say to...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And what would you say to somebody in that situation, such as the woman I just mentioned? You know, she obviously doesn't want to end that relationship and let him just wander off and make the same mistakes. Is there a way that she can, you know, get him to want to re-engage in their own relationship?
Well, it's a good question, because sometimes those men are less likely to see that there's a problem in the way they're relating. They don't tend to relate as warmly or as closely as their partners very often. And so they think as long as they're hanging around and they're bringing in some money and they're doing their chores around the house, they're in a relationship. But of course, for a woman, particularly for the anxious and secure style, which is the other style, which wants to connect and relate as warmly and as often as possible, that isn't going to be a relationship that's got any value in it. That's, they want something that's far more connecting, far more emotionally engaging. And so what he's doing is he's emotionally disengaging. I had a woman ring me this morning. She was due to see me just before we had this interview, Liam. And she cancelled the appointment because the husband, who was keen to come yesterday, wasn't keen to come today. Now, that's a very common problem, more often the case with avoidant types than the anxious and secure types. Because the avoidant and secure types, they would... they just distance themselves from the whole communication, whole problem-solving area. So they just find it very difficult to show up. They find it very difficult to confront the way their relationship is operating. And they also can be very defensive about feeling that they're going to be wronged. or that they're going to be shown up as being inadequate in some way. So avoidant, insecure men can very often avoid resolving things because they have this fear that their inadequacies are going to be exposed. So that's a very common scenario. And the only way she can really, well, what I said to this woman on this morning is I said, go to my website, look at that first article, download it, highlight what you think he's doing, highlight what you think you're doing, and then he might see that underneath their relating patterns is this whole dynamic that they've never had explained to them in quite this way.
Yes, excellent, great.
That's the only way I can see people are engaged with, by getting to see what they don't know. It's a little bit like taking a car to a mechanic and you say, you know, I want the banging in the, under the bonnet to be fixed. And would you fix it? But what I have to do with people and what they really have to do for themselves in relationship, the people who are reading your material as well, is they have to eventually become the mechanic. They have to actually know what the banging noise is under the bonnet and how to fix it. And the only way to do that is by doing courses such as what you offer, reading materials such as what I offer, reading things, learning things, so that you become aware of the hidden side of these relationships.
Yes. Yes, it's...
It's good.
And we could probably go off into a complete new topic here about the tragedy I see that people aren't taught any of this stuff, you know, when they're young or given any sort of awareness that these things actually are part of the dynamics of a relationship. You know, it's not just a physical, that like you see in the media, you know, fall in love and live happily ever after type thing. But anyway,
yes.
So I think... And
yes, that's great. In many ways, Liam, it shows that as human beings, we don't tend to want to learn things until we know we need to learn it.
Yes, that's right. It's only when a crisis arises that you have to do something.
Exactly. So, and that's the difficulty for lots of couples, is that one person says, hey, I think we've got a problem, and the other person doesn't want to recognize there's a problem. So it is hard for people to engage. And I guess by reading materials such as yours or mine, if the willing partner gets insight into the dynamics of what's going on in their relationship and they can make meaning of it for them, they can then perhaps come to their partner and say, look, I've just realized why things are going wrong with us. I realize why you withdraw when I want to engage with you, and I realize why I chase you around the house trying to engage with you. Here's an article that tells us why we do this. Let's talk about this and let's understand how our different styles are keeping us from connecting properly.
Yes.
It's really a matter of learning.
Yes. And I think, you know, you alluded to this earlier, the problem people, and I'm sure they say this to you as well, but hang on, he never used to be like this. You know, when we first got together, he was great and he was doing all these things. And you know, and part of it's maybe trying to identify with both people when you can get to the stage of saying, well, what did we used to do that created such a good connection with us, and what have we stopped doing? But that's part of the understanding as well, isn't it? So, yeah.
Exciting. So when it's exciting, people want to engage, they want to chat, they can't get enough of each other. But then what happens over time is that excitement dissipates. Life kicks in, you've got to look after the mortgage and the job, and what happens is the excitement and the buzz of those first few months starts to dissipate, and when that happens, the avoidant withdrawal pattern starts to become more prevalent, and the person finds that they don't have quite the enthusiasm to ring up several times a day or text many times a day. They find that they have then got other things to do. And that's distressing for the person who's the anxious, insecure type, because they really want connection. And as that connection drops off, they get more anxious. They get concerned about, hey, where's my relationship going? I had a couple here last night who are exactly in that position. They communicated just fine when they had a distant relationship because it wasn't that often that they communicated. They were hundreds of miles apart. But then when they got together, they started to realize that she's an anxious person, always wanting more of the relationship. He is a bit more avoidant. He withdraws. He doesn't say much. He goes off and does his own thing. So they're getting to see that they're getting into a pattern which they know isn't going to serve them long time. The good news is, Liam, all people can learn new skills. You know, they can upgrade these skills. They can learn to do things better. So, for example, the withdrawer can learn how to hang in when his partner gets upset, listen to her, and stay connected and talk with her. But he has to be able to discipline himself to stay there. The difficulty for the withdrawer type person is they often don't have the skills. They don't feel like they've got the ability to hang in when she's getting upset and annoyed and angry, and they just want to move off because it's ridiculous. Why are they behaving like that? It's crazy. And so they just distance themselves, but it does nothing for the connection.
Right. Just, you mentioned earlier that that the withdrawal style is very much a male thing. Do you think it's tied in, that particular style, with anything to do with self-esteem, how someone feels about themselves? Because it seems to me that if you don't feel good and you don't feel that you can provide the solutions, or that you feel that you need to provide the solutions and you don't know the answer to things, then, and that's a very male characteristic, isn't it, to need to be the problem solver and the provider and the you know, the leader. But do you think if people feel that they can't do all of those things, or they set themselves up with high expectations that that's what they're supposed to do, that when they don't live up to that, they just withdraw, you know, because they don't know what else to do, and it's really a self-esteem issue, that they don't feel good about themselves, that they can connect, and that they don't have to be the one that provides all the answers all the time. Is there an element of that in there?
I think you're probably correct. The withdrawal style, after all these, the terminology, the anxious insecure style and the avoidant insecure style, they really come from child psychology work, with that research that's been done with toddlers when their mothers have left the room and when they come back to the room, and observing how these toddlers relate and so on. So if you go back historically, the avoidant person has grown up probably going off on their own when problems occurred, and just being in their own company rather than reaching out to mother and talking things through and so on. So if you think of, and that you can imagine little boys, for example, when things go wrong, just wanting to go off and climb a tree or go play tennis or do something else. So what happens is they get into that habit of avoiding how they feel and then working out how to do things mentally. So they become a little individual when they're growing up who doesn't engage with their feeling and then reach out according to that feeling. They just distance themselves from people, then start to think about, what can I do? What can I do better here? How can I work this out? So they learn to become mentally reliant. Well, we're reliant on their mental faculties rather than their emotional faculties. And so then what they do is they learn to address the whole of life through this business of doing tasks. The withdrawer avoidant style is very task-oriented, very, as you said, solution-oriented, always looking to fix problems. And their partners get very tired of this fix-it mentality that they bring to their relationships. They find it difficult to listen to emotional intensity. They probably did when they were a kid as well. So they try to distance themselves from emotional intensity, not realizing that actually if they listen to their partner's emotional intensity and try to tune into where she's at, they don't have to do any problem solving. They don't have to fix anything. All they've got to do is connect. They've just got to let your partner know that they're there, that they're engaged, that they care. They don't have to solve anything. All they've got to do is simply say, well, I hear you're feeling upset because such and such happened. Okay, I can understand that. Is there anything I can do to support you? And just leave that. You know, that's not too complicated to actually learn the skills of how to connect, actually, whether you're an avoidant or an anxious, insecure style.
No, that's great. So, unfortunately, we're running out of time, as we always seem to. We could talk about this for ages, but just one final sort of question I've got, and I think probably a lot of people listening might have as well, is, how easy is it, or is it possible for someone to actually change their connection style, or basically who you are, what you've got, and that's it, or if you know what I mean?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? I see this couple last night who had this extreme difference. I said, look, you do have this pattern from the past, but you're not, doesn't have to determine your future. Yes, you're always going to be predisposed to your patterns, to your conflict styles, to your connection styles, but you can upskill on them. You can learn to listen. You can learn to connect. You can learn to hear a person's emotion if you're not used to it. Or in the case of the anxious and insecure style, you can learn to downgrade your anger and learn to back off a wee bit and then connect more meaningfully when the other person's more available. I often encourage couples when they get angry with each other just to take time apart, distance, pull back, and then agree to come back and talk about what went on. Because they just need to talk about their needs and their feelings. They don't have to agree. They just have to hear each other. Relationship really isn't about always agreeing. It's really about hearing each other and caring enough to hear each other. So, yes, it is possible to do this, but not all couples are prepared to do the work that's required to heal that connection. But it's absolutely doable. I've never met a couple that I didn't think could manage it.
Right. Oh, that's great. And I think that's what will be encouraging to people listening, you know, that
there's hope for us all.
Yes, then. That's
basically we can all do this. I talk on the third and fourth articles on my website, the couplescounselingforyou.co.nz website. The third and fourth articles talk about how each style can learn new skills to connect with the other. So the first article talks about these attachment styles. It's useful for couples to go and have a look and find out their attachment style so they can see just what they're dealing with. And then they can look at the third and fourth articles as to how they can learn the new tricks that they need to add to their repertoire of connecting skills in order to be able to connect better with their partner. So it's all there.
That's brilliant. So can you just repeat your website address again for people who'd like to find out more?
Yes, it's www.couplescounselling, that's two L's, spelt the New Zealand way, couplescounselling, one word, for you, the number four, the letter U, so all that's one word, couplescounselling4u.co.nz.
That's brilliant. Jeff, it's been an absolute delight having you on the program, and you know I've learned so much, and I'm sure everyone listening has learned a lot about how all of these underlying factors play such a major role in the way our relationships work. And by understanding these, we're just going to be able to be so much further ahead in really making things work and creating the relationship we really want to have, which is happy and easy and without problems. So thank you very much for being on the show. Thanks everyone for listening. Of course, if you'd like more information about Jeff and also about what I'm doing, you can. I've got information on my website as well, liamnaden.com, and I'd love to hear from you anytime. Thanks very much for joining us. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Liam. All the best, everybody. Know that you can do it.
Thank you. Bye for now.